I can see most of you. It is good to be with you on this Sunday morning. It is a beautiful day outside, and it's always a beautiful day with Jesus within us. Just as we continue to talk about faith this today, as being our theme for the past couple of weeks, let's just continue to think about where do we gain our confidence? What is it that faith brings into our life, and how can we continue to stand on all that we know about who Jesus is and where Jesus is taking us. So let's hold that as the center of who we are, and we'll continue to grow together in our faith. Let's turn to the announcement. There's quite a few, and I really want to hit on them. We have on the one insert, we have the thing about Karen Turner's birthday coming up, a card shower. She has moved to North Carolina for her health concerns, but we want to make sure she knows that she's in our thoughts and prayers. So if you can participate in that, it'd be great. The Shawnee Elementary Mentor Program, there's a yellow form like this. It's two-sided. The one side just kind of has a lot of information about why we're doing it. The other side is how you sign up. It's not in your bulletin. It's on the table out there. There's a basket to fill it out and then put it in the basket right there. If you were doing it last year, put the name of the child and the grade they were in so that you can, they just wanted to make sure that the same people could get together if you want that. So if you can fill those out, both those that are newly to the program and those that did it before, we need all the forms so that we can send it to the school and let them know who is participating. If you have any questions about it after you read through it, let me know. Also, SBRC is meeting tomorrow. As you can see, they have some jobs openings. We're trying to work together on working that, so it's an important meeting for SBRC tomorrow. Blood drive, we only have a few people signed up. It's tomorrow. It is a way to give life to people, so I encourage you to do that if you can. There's reasons that you can't, I understand, but if those who can, please do what you can to come be a part of that. There's an Autumn Blessings brunch coming up by Dorcas Circle. There is information out there as well. If you want to be a part of that over the next couple of weeks, you can get tickets for that, and it'll be a great time to be together. Mary and Martha retreat. Next Sunday is the last day for registration. That is a women's retreat. It'll be a great time to kind of just come together, and we're talking about bolstering our faith and just walking through that together, and it'll be a great energy booster for all you ladies to be part of that. Festival sharing kits are out here. There's information on those. Take a picture of what the list is and take that out and bring them back over the next couple weeks, and we'll be sharing the love through doing those things. Also, just different ministries to be a part of, Stephen Ministry and the choir, the Men of Faith Garage Sales coming up. All these things are part of being a community together, so I encourage you to see what works for you, what fits for you, and let's be a community, because that's what we are talking about. Our mission here is to be a safe space for exploring our faith, but building community. So let's continue to work on that as a congregation. With that, let us take in our time with the prelude as we prepare for worship. Thank you.
Good morning. I just thought I would get everybody's attention. If you can stand, if you're able, for our call to worship, that would be great. Where can we stand when God is shaking the earth? We'll stand on the promises of God. Where can we find support when our foundations fail? Where can we find salvation in times like these? We will look to Jesus and his covenant of life. Let us worship God, the God of our salvation, with our opening hymn, Praise the Lord the Almighty. And we're going to be singing verses 1, 2, 3, and 5. It's 139 in your hymnal or on the screens. You may be seated. And if you would join with me in the opening prayer as printed in your bulletin, let us pray. Eternal God, you know us before we were conceived. You called us as your own while we were still in our mother's wombs.
Keep watch over us, we pray, for we long to return to your ways. Restore our confidence in times of doubt, for we yearn to be the people you would have us to be. Grant us the confidence to go forth unafraid, that we might bless the world through your presence in our lives. Amen.
Now it's the children's moments, and any children would like to come up, that would be great. Hi, guys.
Good
morning. How are you this morning? How was the first week with school? Was it good? Oh, that's good. I'm glad to hear that. And you look really comfortable. I wish I could do that. Okay, Pastor Jeff has been talking a lot about faith. And faith is kind of a funny thing, because faith is something that we can't touch. No, you can't feel faith. You can't see it. It's kind of like God's presence. It's like God's love. It's like God's promises. It's like trusting God when you don't have all the answers. And lots of times we don't have all the answers, right? Mm. Sometimes you wonder about things and you think, oh, I'm not sure about that, but we could trust God. It's kind of like Noah. When God said to Noah, build the ark, what did Noah do? He built it. That's right. It wasn't raining, and people made fun of him, but he trusted God. And faith is kind of like a gift from God. Didn't think about it as a gift, but it is, because that faith allows us to trust in Jesus, and it helps us to believe in Jesus. So let's pray to Jesus that our faith will grow stronger as we grow older, and that our trust muscles will get strong as well, and we can trust him. Thank you, God, for all these kids and the families they come from. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Now we're going to sing a song, which I don't know the name of until I get over here. Lord, speak to me. It's number 463. We're doing verses 1, 2, and 5.
Let us go before the Lord in faith. Let us pray. Gracious and merciful God, we come to you as this body of Christ once again. We come to you opening our hearts and our minds to you, knowing that you speak to us. Lord, help us to be able to speak to you. Truly talk to you and understand what it means to be in conversation in our prayers. Help us to pour out our hearts to you. Lord, we see all kinds of things around us, and in our lives we experience all these different things that try to shake us. Lord, they are indeed things that do shake us. But Lord, we know that we don't have to remain in that state. But having it in our minds and an understanding that what we have in you is different from what we truly experience, God. Speak to our hearts, open our hearts to trust completely. Lord, we do turn to you, maybe not often enough. Encourage us, strengthen us. Lord, we just thank you for who you are and how you don't leave us. Leave us to be in our misery. Leave us to be in pain. Leave us to be in our sorrow. Leave us to be in fear. Those are all things that we have made as humanity. When we rest in you, all these things fall to the wayside. For some reason, Lord, we like to be in the midst of those things. We continue to hurt people. We continue to do things that we shouldn't be doing. But Lord, it is there. So Lord, as those who call upon Jesus Christ, who say we have a new life in you, let us be a new life into the world. Let us show the world that it is possible. Follow you and to be transformed into the likeness of your Son. Yeah, it takes time for us to become more and more like your Son, but Lord, we just ask that you would create that in us so that the world can see the beauty that is your Son. Lord, as we shake, we tend to not show the world who you are. Help us to stand firm, to be encouraged by one another, to be courageous, to be the light and love that the world needs to see through those that have met you, O God. May we rest in your presence and find our steady foot to walk with you in each and every day. Let us now share with one voice, showing our togetherness in faith, prayer that Jesus taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Friends, as we go into our time of receiving an offering, just know that as we receive, it is so much that we get from our Lord. As we return a portion, it is not something that should be a burden to us. It should be something that comes out of us in willingness to be generous to the world. Ushers, would you please wait? Join together in the prayer of dedication. God of power and might, in times of trial, you are our fortress and our refuge. In thanksgiving and praise for your wonderful gifts, we offer you our tithes and offerings, that others might know the strength of your unshakable kingdom. Amen. You may be seated.
Well, good morning. Before I sing a special song that means quite a bit to me, I'd like to say a few words. And I notice that you're in the back of the church. It's hard for you to see what I have up here. But I have a couple special friends with me this morning. I have a branch. And I'm not sure you can see these two birds from where you're sitting. These are two sparrows. And a little bit of story about this. I want to share a special passage of Scripture that is, it's like a smorgasbord of food, but it's a smorgasbord of Scripture. And that is from Matthew chapter 6. It's commonly known as Sermon on the Mount. At the beginning of Matthew 6, Jesus teaches his disciples to pray what is commonly known as the Lord's Prayer. It goes on, and I think there's a little feeling that Jesus gathers together a large multitude of people and his disciples. And they go into a mountain, and it's kind of perfect acoustics. Jesus can speak to the multitude and the disciples, and they don't have any trouble hearing his words. And it's not too much further down the road that Jesus is going to be crucified, be put in the tomb, rise from the dead, and go up to be with his Father in heaven. And I think he kind of senses that the disciples are kind of wondering how they are going to be taken care of. And Jesus says, don't worry about what you have to drink. Don't worry about what you have to eat. Or don't worry about how you're going to clothe yourself. And then he says, take for example the smallest birds of the sky. These birds, they don't plant grain in the ground in the spring. Or in the fall, they don't harvest grains so that they have food to eat. They don't build up barns full of food. But yet, your heavenly Father takes care of the smallest of the birds and feeds them. Which ones of you are not greater than the smallest of these birds? If your heavenly Father can feed the small birds, he also can feed you. And he says, O ye of little faith. We're speaking about faith here today. O ye little faith. Have faith that God will take care of you. Matthew 6:33, it says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. It's referring back to what's going to be added unto you. God will take care of you by feeding you, supplying your drink, supplying your clothing, whatever. That portion of Scripture has really meant a lot to me in my life. I've gone through a lot, and it's good to look and see how God can supply, and God will take care of you. if you put your faith in Him. I'd like to share with you today, His eye is on the sparrow. Should I be discouraged? Why should the shadows come? Why should my heart be troubled and long for heaven and home? My Jesus is my portion, my constant friend is He, for His eye is on the sparrow, and I know He watches me. His eye is on the sparrow, and I know He watches me. Whenever I am tempted, whenever clouds arise, when song gives place to sighing, when hope within me dies, I draw the closer to Him. From care He sets me free, for His eye is on the sparrow, and I know He cares for me. His eye is on the sparrow. And I know He watches me. I sing because I'm happy. I sing because I'm free, for His eye is on the sparrow, and I know He watches me. I sing because I'm happy. I sing because I'm free. For His eye is on the sparrow, and I know He watches. Yes, I know He watches. Oh, praise God, He watches me.
Thank you, David, Carol. That was powerful.
Well, we thank you for that lovely song. The scripture reading this morning is coming from Hebrews chapter 12, 18 through 29. You haven't drawn near to something that can be touched, a burning fire, darkness, shadow, a whirlwind, a blast of the trumpet, and a sound of words that made the ones who heard it beg that there wouldn't be one more word. They couldn't stand the command. If even a wild animal touches the mountain, it must be stoned. The sight was so frightening that Moses said, "I'm terrified and shaking." But you have drawn near to Mount Zion, the city of the living God, heavenly Jerusalem, to countless angels in a festival gathering, to the assembly of God's firstborn children who are registered in heaven, to God, the judge of all, to the spirits of the righteous who have been made perfect, to Jesus, the moderator of the new covenant, and to the sprinkled blood that speaks better than Abel's blood. See to it that you don't resist the one who is speaking. If the people didn't escape when they refused to listen to the one who warned them on earth, how will we escape if we reject the one who is warning from heaven? His voice shook the earth then, but now he has made a promise. Still, once more, I will shake not only the earth, but heaven also. The words, "still once more," reveal the removal of what is shaken, the things that are part of this creation, so that what isn't shaken will remain. Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom that can't be shaken, let us continue to express our gratitude. With this gratitude, let's serve in a way that is pleasing to God with respect and awe, because our God really is a consuming fire. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Over the past week, a couple of weeks, I should say, we have been bolstering our understanding of faith. Because we understand that faith is so much more than an ideology or a set of practices. And we began by inviting us all to accept that our faith in Christ is foundational to who we are and how we live. And along with the author of Hebrews, we proclaim, faith is the reality of what we hope for, the proof of what we don't see. So by faith, we participate in a new reality in Christ from what was before we accepted Jesus as our Lord and Savior. Our response of faith to this new reality is proof for all to see. Standing on the four pillars of a foundation that we introduced in the first week of belief, trust, fidelity, and agency, by faith we start the race of endurance which continues until Jesus returns to fulfill the promise of eternal life in the fullness of God's holy presence. Last week we shared about how enduring faith perseveres in this race to the finish, with purpose in the promise that we've been given, always inspiring and sustaining one another in community to continue throughout our journey as we all abide in Jesus, who initiated, invited, welcomed us on this journey, and is perfecting us along the way by the power and the work of the Holy Spirit. And as a result of our faith in Christ, we then become awakened to the truth that we physically live in a world that is counter to the reality that we hope for. However, in God's goodness and faithfulness, by faith, we are already welcome to live as residents in the unshakable kingdom of God. And then all around us, the world we live in is shaking from the destruction of the sin of humanity and all evil that fights against God's work of redemption to bring us home. We don't have to shake with it. In Christ's first coming, we have been given all we need to stand firm in faith while we anticipate His second coming. Today we consider what anchors unshakable faith. In our passage, the author presented two different movements of God's work to restore humanity's relationship with God after the fall. The fall where we chose ourselves as God of our lives instead of the one true God. The first movement described was that of God descending on Mount Sinai to make a covenant of law with Moses and the Hebrew people to establish a means for God to be present with the people in this fallen world. This covenant required a recurring sacrificial system with the outpouring of blood to temporarily purify, to make holy the people of God, to be in God's presence as God descended on their community. God's power and holiness was overwhelming to the people, causing them to be terrified and shaken by God being near. And then the author reminded us, this is not the experience that draws us to God's presence. Rather, the author declared, we have been drawn to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the sprinkled blood that speaks better than Abel's blood. Abel's blood cried out for justice. Jesus' blood speaks life into death. Jesus' sacrifice on the cross, the outpouring of His blood on our behalf, once and for all, removed sin as the barrier between us and God's holiness. So in Christ, we are forever made holy in Him. We no longer need to fear God being near to us because of our sin and sinfulness. There's no need to look over our shoulder when we realize the wrong that we have committed. Rather, we turn immediately to Jesus. Submit to Him, confess, and receive forgiveness. So the fear of being in God's presence is no more in Christ. Unshakable faith is anchored in this new covenant in Jesus Christ. Because the new covenant gives us access to the reality we hope for now. Through Christ, we are ascending with Him to be in God's presence now and forevermore. The old covenant of law at no fault of God instilled fear, isolation, disconnection, and chaos among the people. The new covenant of grace instills confidence, community, and peace. We can stand firmly on this truth as we move forward into our new reality in Christ. Now, Jesus didn't just come to die on the cross for our sins and rise to reign over the unshakable kingdom of God. Jesus came with a message and continues to speak to us from His throne through the Holy Spirit. The author of Hebrews warned, see to it that you don't resist the one who is speaking. If the people didn't escape when they refused to listen to the one who warned them on earth, How will we escape if we reject the one who is warning from heaven? Again, this speaks to the old and new covenants. The people of the old covenant declined to hear God speak to them because of their fear. They distanced themselves from the God they wanted to be close to. It doesn't make sense. It didn't work to their benefit to distance themselves. Unshakable faith is anchored in constant communication with God. Moses overcame his fear, and it says in Exodus 33:11, the Lord would speak to Moses face to face as a man speaks with his friend. In Christ, we have this kind of access to God. There's no reason for us to think otherwise. However, too many of us don't have regular conversations with the Lord. And like the Hebrew people, many fear the voice of God speaking to them. There's nothing to fear. We have full access. Well, we can open our conversation simply by calling out to God the Father or to Jesus if that's more comfortable to us. And even the Holy Spirit who resides within us. Personally, I have found that my best conversations with the Lord come through reading and meditating on the Scriptures. When I read the Gospels, I ask Jesus to help me with His teaching. When I read the letters of the New Testament, I ask the Holy Spirit to speak to my spirit. While I am in the Old Testament, I bounce around asking God Almighty to bring some kind of clarity to this culture I'm reading about that is so far removed from mine. Then I ask Jesus to show me where He is throughout the story. And then invite the Spirit to speak directly to my heart, to shape my motivations to be aligned with grace and mercy. But if not hearing from the Lord through the Scriptures, we can speak with the Lord in prayer and in holy conversations with someone who desires to listen to the Lord and learn with us. Communicating with God doesn't have to be difficult, dutiful, or dreadful. And it may be uncomfortable and challenging at times, but it is also enlightening, beautiful, motivating, comforting, and exciting. What can I do to encourage you to engage with the Lord through these things of Scripture and prayer and study individually and corporately? There are so many things for us. Apps on our phones, daily reading lists and emails, lectionary readings, and other tools to help us navigate through the Bible. My encouragement is to let the Bible read to you. Don't try to read it to figure out all the complexities. Just invite the Lord to speak to you as you read. And consider reading the Bible with others and join a Sunday school class or create a group and have holy conversations about biblical stories and topics that come up as you're reading. And then pray. Pray all the time in your quiet space, in the midst of your busyness. Pray alone. Pray with others. Pray out loud as if you were meeting with a friend. Please pray for the church and our ministries. Actually, I'm looking for some prayer partners to pray for our church and our community on a regular basis. Maybe God is nudging you today. All of this to say, communicating with God on a regular basis has an anchoring effect on our life of faith. We just have to put out the anchor. As much as we humans love the thought of drifting through life, we know that there is a wave coming that wants to knock us off course. And as our passage warned, everything we see is shakable unless it is anchored to the unshakable kingdom of God. The author of Hebrews then goes on to encourage Christ's followers, writing, Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom that can't be shaken, let's continue to express gratitude. With gratitude, let's serve in a way that is pleasing to God with respect and awe, because our God is a consuming fire. Friends, the reality of dwelling in God's unshakable presence is ours by faith. Unshakable faith anchors in rejoicing in the Lord's presence. Now, as wonderful and beautiful as this sounds, this is one of the hardest anchors for us to drop. Our earthly understanding of rejoicing is dependent on what we see and our physical experience. We automatically think externally. But rejoicing in the Lord, joy in the Lord, is an internal experience that isn't disrupted by everything that is going on outside of us or rattling around in our heads. The reality of the Lord's presence with us is unshakable. And God came to steady us, but also for us to rejoice in God's presence. The Lord never leaves us and awaits us to stand firmly in His presence with gratitude and joy. Rejoicing in the Lord doesn't mean we express enjoyment. This is where we get confused. It doesn't mean we express enjoyment in the chaos and the pain and the sorrow that faces us throughout our lives. However, it does mean that this darkness cannot take away the light of life in Christ that resides within. Being able to embrace this kind of joy in our hearts, our soul, comes through the transforming power of the Holy Spirit. And this is a great topic of conversation to have with the Holy Spirit as we pray, Lord, help me understand. Help me experience and rejoice in You. The joy in the Lord within. Paul, writing to the church in Ephesus, encouraged, "And God raised us up and seated us in the heavens with Christ Jesus. God did this to show future generations the greatness of His grace by the goodness that God has shown us in Christ Jesus." As Paul alluded to, by faith, we already reside with Christ in the unshakable kingdom of God. In Christ, we can be unshakable. A shaky faith response isn't the proof that the world around us needs to see to be drawn to Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. Let's instead steady our response with the anchors of unshakable faith. Let's stand firm in the new covenant in Jesus Christ, who gives us this uninhibited access to God's holy presence. Gain confidence through constant communication with God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And let's celebrate the Lord's unshakable presence in us and with us through gratitude and rejoicing from within the depth of our beings. Again, everything we know is shakable, except for God and God's everlasting kingdom. So let's make our home with God through Jesus Christ by faith and be unshakable. Amen.
Our closing hymn this morning is Stand Up and Bless the Lord. It's number 662 and on the screens.
Thank you.
I've mentioned before that I've been reading a book of prayer every morning. It has John Wesley's sermons in prayer form, one for each week. This morning I was reading, every Sunday I start a new one. This morning I was reading, and each of the prayers ends with a hymn or a collect that one of the Wesleys had written. And this morning's was All Praise to Our Redeeming Lord. It's number 554 in our hymnal, and it fits so much about what we've been talking about. I thought I'd read you some of the verses as our benediction. All praise to our Redeeming Lord, who joins us by His grace and bids us, each to each restored, together seek His face. He bids us build each other up and gathered into one, to our high calling's glorious hope, we hand in hand go on. The gift which He on one bestows, we all delight to prove. The grace through every vessel flows in purest streams of love. We all partake the joy of one, the common peace we feel, a peace to sensual minds unknown, a joy unspeakable. And if our fellowship be low and Jesus be so sweet, what height of rapture shall we know when round His throne we meet? Go in peace. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.